And since Las Casas, historians, clerics, and political activists have debated whether Europeans and their descendants in the Americas are morally culpable for the enormous Indian losses. Indeed, some writers have employed the loaded term Holocaust to describe the contact and its aftermath. Following in its train, inevitably, has come an even more potent label, genocide. Europe's defenders argue that the mass deaths cannot be described as genocide. The epidemics often were not even known to Europeans, still less deliberately caused by them. For that reason, they fall into a different moral class than the Jewish Holocaust, which was a state policy of mass murder. Very probably the greatest demographic disaster in history, the depopulation of the New World, for all its terror and death, was largely an unintended tragedy, wrote Stephen Katz in his monumental Holocaust in Historical Context. The wave of Indian deaths, in his view, was a tragedy that occurred despite the sincere and indisputable desire of the Europeans to keep the Indian population alive. Katz overstates his case. True, the conquistadors did not want the Indians to die off en masse, but that desire did not stem from humanitarian motives. Instead, the Spanish wanted native peoples to use as a source of forced labor. In fact, the Indian deaths were such a severe financial blow to the colonies that they led, according to Bora, to an economic depression that lasted more than a century. To resupply themselves with labor, the Spaniards began importing slaves from Africa. Later on, some of the newcomers indeed campaigned in favor of eradicating natives. The poet-physician Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr., for instance, regarded the Indian as but a sketch in red crayon of a rudimental manhood. To the problem of his relation to the white race, Holmes said, there was one solution: extermination. Following such impulses, a few Spanish and a few French, Portuguese, and British deliberately spread disease. Many more treated Indians cruelly, murderously so, killing countless thousands. But the pain and death caused from the deliberate epidemics, lethal cruelty, and egregious racism pales in comparison to those caused by the great waves of disease, a means of subjugation that the Europeans could not control, and in many cases did not know they had. How can they be morally culpable for it? Not so fast, say the activists. Europeans may not have known about microbes, but they thoroughly understood infectious disease. Almost 150 years before Columbus set sail, a Tartar army besieged the Genoese city of Kaffa. Then the Black Death visited. To the defenders' joy, their attackers began dying off. But triumph turned to terror when the Tartar Khan catapulted the dead bodies of his men inside the city walls, deliberately creating an epidemic inside. The Genoese fled Kaffa, leaving it open to the Tartars. But they did not run away fast enough. Their ships spread the disease to every port they visited. Neither European nor Indian had a secular understanding of disease. Sickness was the physical manifestation of the will of God, Robert Crease, a philosopher of science at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, told me. You could pass it on to someone, but doing that was like passing on evil or bad luck or a bad spirit. The transmission also reflected God's will. The conquistadors knew the potential impact of disease, but its actual impact, which they could not control, was in the hands of God. The Mexica agreed. In all the indigenous accounts of the conquest and its aftermath, the anthropologist J. Jorge Clordealva observed, the Mexica lament their losses, but the Spaniards are rarely judged in moral terms, and Cortes is only sporadically considered a villain. It seems to be commonly understood, at least by this bleakly philosophical, imperially minded group, that the Spaniards did what any other group would have done, or would have been expected to do, if the opportunity had existed.